This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is your call to action. Get prepared, America. Economy, survival, energy, disasters. This is USAprepares.com. Informative radio, educational radio. Interact now by emailing instructor at USAprepares.com or text at 434-390-7953. Class, please take your seats. Now, your instructor, Vincent Fennelli.
Charles is with us. Hour number two of USA Prepares. And so, here's a lesson. Yesterday, I was talking about rotational grazing and how we have paddocks and we let the cows into an area that is sectioned off with electric fence tape. And we use these step-in posts. We call them curlicues. I guess that's the slang for them. They are steel posts that you can step in with your foot. They have two prongs. And they have an insulator on this steel rod that looks like a pig's tail. Curlicue. And you just feed the electric fence tape, which is polypropylene and six stainless steel wires, in through these curlicues. And they're about 30 inches off the ground or so. One wire. The cows can see it because it's white in color. Sometimes it's yellow. Sometimes it's yellow and black. But we use the white ones because it's the most visible. And we've got miles and miles and miles of this stuff, literally. We power it with an electric fence charger that runs on 120 volts AC, 125. And it pulses. Tick, tick, tick. And each one of those ticks is a pulse of high voltage, low current. It's like getting a jolt of static electricity. That's what it feels like. And the cows learn about it real fast, and it keeps them in an area. And what we do is we encourage them to stay within a certain small paddock, and they eat everything except the inedible things. And then we let them into another area, and then another area, and another area, and we give the grass about 21 days of rest before we put them back into an area. It gives the grass a chance to grow because we want the grass to grow and we want to be healthy. So I got an email from Howard. And Howard said, Vincent, heard your five minutes on rotational grazing this morning. I do not have the land that you have. So we have 10 cows and 12 calves, been rotational grazing since 2018. That's about 4 years. He says the problem that he has, and maybe we have a solution for him, is the weeds. So what happens when cows eat what they like and leave the weeds? Like pigweed and ironweed. As time goes on, weeds become more prevalent year to year, and he figures the solution is to kill everything and plant only pasture seeds that cows eat. They have organic fertilizer. And so what's my answer? My answer is real simple. If you, and you can get at your local farm supply store what's called a grass seed pasture mix. And it'll be a whole bunch of different types of grasses all mixed together in some proportion. That's probably what they've worked out to be viable in your area. So depending on your climate, different grasses would make sense. There are cool season grasses, there are warm season grasses, there are drought resistant grasses, and there are grasses that grow like weeds that can kill a cow. So the answer is simple. If you have fertility in your fields, the grasses will grow. If you have moisture, the grasses will grow. And if you plant the right grasses, you'll be in good shape. However, you need to clip or cut the fields at least twice a year. And otherwise, you'll have all kinds of growth that you don't want. We'll call that weeds. Now, in our world, weeds are what the cows don't eat. So we actually plant crabgrass. Now, If you have a fine lawn and you live on the East Coast, people want to kill crabgrass. Well, we actually have it mixed in with the other grass plants because it makes great hay. The cows don't like to graze it, but it makes great hay. So we have crabgrass, we have fescue, tall fescue, bluestem, we have brome, we have lots of different grasses. And it works great because when the situation changes from lots of moisture to very little moisture or high heat or cool weather, we've got grass plants that love that. They love the variety. Different plants thrive in different temperatures and humidity. So it works great. But you have to clip the fields twice a year minimum. And if you do that, you'll probably be in great shape. And that's what we do. So in the case of when we had this drought, it was terrible. And all the fields turned brown. I mean, nothing really liked no water. And then it rained. And we were saved by the rain. And what we did was we stockpiled. And we had some hay that we had stockpiled from the previous year. And we were able to get through it. Barely. So grass likes to be cut. It really does. It grows like crazy after you cut it. So what we do is we go through the fields. We have several mowers. One of them is pretty big. One of them is 15 feet wide. It's called a batwing. And you see these mowing down the highways. I mean, a big tractor with it's called a batwing because the wings, it's three actual mowers. There's a center mower and a left mower and a right mower, and they are driven by gearboxes and PTO shafts, and they articulate so that they can go through land that's hilly, that's higher on one side than the other side. It works great. It takes a lot of horsepower. It takes about 100 horsepower to move one of these things. They weigh about 4,000 pounds just for the mower, maybe even more than that. So we've got one of those, and we go over our large fields with that. And then we have a 6-foot mower. It's called a bush hog. And run one of those with a 40-horsepower tractor. And we do some trimming with that. And we have a little 5-foot bush hog that we use for even finer trimming. So if you do that, if you mow the fields, and if you plant the right grass seeds, and you have the right soil fertility and moisture, you'll be doing great. But you still have to cut the fields twice a year minimum. Charles, do you have any comments about what I've said?
No, I haven't had much experience with the cattle.
other than eating some, right?
Yeah, there you go.
Yep. So today I've got a couple lessons, and one of them is about buying a used compressor. And In our farm, a farm cannot operate without an air compressor. It's impossible because every farm has flat tires, every single one. And we use air tools, impact wrenches or impact guns. And those are those tools that you see at the tire shop, and they're loosening the lug nuts with them. And so it's an air impact wrench. We use them, and we use impact hammers. Sometimes when we need to get a bolt loosened, we'll use an impact hammer. We have impact chisels. So if a person wants to cut an exhaust pipe, we have an air chisel, and it hammers. And it's like a machine gun, but it has a chisel on it, an air chisel, and just point it at the metal you want to cut and hold on to it. And you wear hearing protection, eye protection, squeeze the trigger, and it'll slice right through a piece of pipe, lengthwise. So one of the tools that I wanted to talk about today was an air compressor. And how do you buy one? Well, you can certainly buy one that's used, or you can buy a new one. Now, the new ones are way more expensive than I'd like to see. I found that for our farm, the ideal size is about a 60-gallon water capacity compressor. So if you were to fill the tank, it would hold 60 gallons of water. They make one that's larger. It's 80 gallons. That's considered commercial duty. But you can get a 60-gallon, which is a little bit smaller. And typically, you can hook them, the 60 gallons, up to a 240-volt circuit, single phase. And I like that. Because we don't have three-phase power here. Some farms have three-phase, but we don't. So we're limited to 120 and 240 volts, single phase. So our compressor is 220/240 volts. Two cylinders, cast iron pump, and the things to look for in my world are I want a compressor that's durable. And the ones that are durable have an oil bath lubrication system, just like an automobile engine. So, or just like a lawnmower, you know, a four-cycle lawnmower. There's a little dipper on the bottom of the connecting rod, and there's an oil pan, and this little dipper is kind of like a popsicle stick. And as the connecting rod rotates, as the crankshaft turns, this little dipper goes into the oil and splashes it around, kind of like if you were to take a bowl of water and give a child a popsicle stick and say, see if you can splash some of the water out of here with this popsicle stick. That's exactly what happens with this oil bath air compressor with two pistons. And it's the best design. Now, you can get them with a cast iron cylinder, or you can get them with maybe an aluminum cylinder. Cast iron is way stronger. It can handle way more heat. It is it's way harder than aluminum. So the durability is much, much greater. Cast iron pump can last easily 10,000 hours of runtime. So that's what we have. We have a cast iron pump, 60-gallon compressor. It was made by, in the good old days, by a company that called themselves Kobalt, K-O-B-A-L-T, which Lowe's sold. I don't think the ones they have today are quite as good as the one that we bought roughly 17 years ago. They say the motor is 5 horsepower. It's not. It's 3.7. And all these companies lie, or almost all these companies that make compressors lie about how many horsepower, because they think that the customer believes that the more horsepower, the better the unit. So if they take a 3.7 horsepower electric motor and call it 5 horsepower, customers more likely to buy that than the one who tells the truth and says theirs is 3.7 horsepower with the same exact motor. So, oil bath air compressors, in my opinion, are the best. Cast iron pumps, the actual device that does the compressing of the air, is the cast iron pump is the way to go. Oil bath is the way to go. And a 60-gallon tank is the way to go. That's what we have. So we bought another one. Bought a used one. And I paid $200 for it. And the guy said it worked great. He had it in a storage area for 5 years. Said it worked great. It was made by a company called Campbell Hausfeld. H-A-U-S-F-E-L-D. Good old-time company. Good brand name. Top of the line. And 5 horsepower. The motor was made in the United States. The electric motor was made in the United States. The pump was cast iron. But it was built in 1981. So it's 41 years old. I like that way better than the brand new ones that are made today, because this one has a solid cast iron pump. The crankcase, the cylinder walls, the head. The head, I think, is aluminum. But the main parts are cast iron. And it's heavy. And it works great. And it was $200. And it didn't work when we went to pick it up. He said it worked. We brought our truck to take it home, fired it up, and it wouldn't fire up. So I want to talk a little bit about that, and I'd love to hear Charles' input, because I'm sure he's used compressors.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now. For prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline. airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork. You know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
GCN's policy is open forum, avoiding censorship. Defense costs for words spoken outside of our control supersede the ability to deliver voices to this important talk platform. The First Amendment is the foundation of our core values. Cancel culture is silencing voices regardless of perspective. Freedom to speak is in the balance. Support the legitimacy of speech itself. Consider donating to SaveGCN.com. That's SaveGCN.com.
Pencils, paper, notebooks, iPads. Class is now in session. USAPrepares.com. Educational radio. Set your memory to high power. Your USAPrepares.com instructor, Vincent Finelli, at the controls.
Charles is with us. So, talking about buying a used compressor. And I mentioned that. For me, it has to be cast iron. The pump has to be cast iron. 60-gallon tank is fine with me. And that would be a stationary compressor. That's one that doesn't get moved around. So you set it in place, and it stays there. So when you're looking at a compressor, do you want one that you can roll around? And if you do, it's going to be a smaller capacity. It's going to be more like a 20-gallon tank or somewhere around there, maybe 30 or smaller. So 30 gallons, 20 gallons, 10 gallons. Depends on how often you're going to use it. Now, if you're going to use it with air tools, you're going to need more like a 60-gallon tank with a reserve capacity to power air tools, because it takes a lot of compressed air to run an impact wrench or an air chisel or an air hammer. So, that being said, when you look at a used compressor, how was it used? What was it used for? Was it used in an automotive shop? Was it used by a do-it-yourselfer? And if that's the case, it probably has very little use. Okay. And what is the general condition of the outside of the unit? Is it rusty? Does it look like it was sitting in a flood? Does it look like the air cleaner has been maintained? Because these have air cleaners just like cars do. And if the air cleaner is plugged up, this thing probably was starved for air and is running a little hotter than it should. And you should check the oil. There's a way to check the oil. A level. Now, some of the newer compressors have a little sight glass, and you can check the oil level. If it's low, that means it wasn't getting cooled properly, and it might have overheated, and it might have damaged the rings, the piston rings of the compressor or the cylinder wall, or walls. So, what I do is I tell the person I'd like to see it run, but don't start it up before I get there. And then if it has air in it, I want to empty all the air out of it and then check, because I don't want to check the oil while it's under pressure. I have oil going everywhere. So it could be dangerous. So I want to drain or remove all the air. And there's a way of doing it. There's a drain cock at the bottom, or you can just hook up an air hose to it and a spray gun and remove the air. And then with the electricity disconnected, I want to look at the oil level. So a lot of the older compressors have a fill plug. It's a pipe thread fill plug. Put a wrench in there and you can unscrew the plug, and you can put in a clean screwdriver blade and check the oil level. If it's low, you want to put oil in it before you run it. If it's too low, you don't want to buy it because it's probably overheated. And if the oil looks nice and clean, that's great. If the oil, if you scrape the bottom of the oil pan with your screwdriver and you see a lot of sludge in there, you probably don't want to buy this thing, because it hasn't been maintained properly. Most compressors that I've seen don't get the oil changed. I don't get it. It's kind of like having a car and not changing the oil. Why would anybody not change the oil in an air compressor? Is it too hard? Or don't they know about it? Or both? So you want to check the oil, and then there's what's called a drain cock on the bottom of the compressor tank. The very bottom of the compressor tank, the lowest point, there's a little brass drain cock, because compressed air collects moisture. As you compress the air, moisture droplets form and they settle at the bottom of the tank. And if you don't drain the tank on a regular basis, like, you know, once a month if you use it, or every couple of weeks if you use it more, you can have water settling in the bottom of the tank and you can rust the tank. Now, if the tank rusts, you're going to have a massive air leak. And at 120 pounds or more per square inch, it could be dangerous. So you don't want to buy an older compressor that has not had the water drained out of it. So if you get more than a couple ounces of water that come out of the bottom of this tank, that's too much. I'd be concerned about that, because I'd ask the person, so how often am I going to need to change this, you know, or drain this water? And if he says, oh, heck, you know, why never do it? Don't worry about that. You probably don't want to buy that one, because he hasn't drained the oil, the water, which contains oil, a slight amount of oil with the water, and you probably have rust inside the tank where you can't see it. So is it all original? I don't want to use a compressor that doesn't have all the original parts. I want one that has the fan belt guard. Why? Because the fan belt guard directs the airflow over the cylinder walls of the compressor pump. And if it doesn't have it, air wasn't directed over it properly. Or you can get your fingers cut off when the belt moves, or both. So I want it all complete. Charles, when we get back, I'd love to hear your comments.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
The Federal Reserve will likely raise its interest rate another 0.75 percentage point at its meeting this week to combat inflation. This will continue to cost you more for your credit cards, car loans, mortgage, and student debt. The U.S. Central Bank has already raised interest rates 4 times this year to combat red-hot inflation, for a total of 2.25 percentage points. Kathleen Hayes from Bloomberg.
Inflation is high. It hasn't broken. The Fed has made it very clear, from Federal Bank presidents to governors, that they're very concerned about the inflation rate. So 50 basis points just doesn't even seem like... The debate is 75 and 50, isn't it?
As Hurricane Fiona heads back into the Atlantic Ocean with winds up to 105 miles an hour, it leaves behind some devastation. The system is projected to become a Category 4 by Wednesday, again over the ocean, and is expected to miss mainland USA and skirt past Nova Scotia, Canada over the weekend. Lance Pry, USA Radio News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. That's 800-932-5140.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach. The dead doctors don't lie guy says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
It's gonna be sliding. When you go to for 2 seconds.
Class is back in session. Turn up the volume. USAPrepares.com with the original survival economist, Vincent Fennelli.
Yeah, I'm here. So, Charles, any comments?
That's good information. And the thing is, a couple years ago, and we kept getting news stories here about individuals and their compressor would explode because of not properly maintaining and draining the tank and letting the rust form in there, and it would, they could turn into bombs.
Well, yeah, and class, there's another thing that can turn into a bomb, and that's a hot water heater. Literally, when hot water heaters were first made, around turn of the century, in 1900, they were tanks filled with water. And what would happen is they would heat and heat, and you can't compress water. You can't do it. And if the water got above boiling, the pressure inside the tank would be so great that the tank would explode. And sometimes it would go airborne, vertically. Blow out the bottom of the tank, which might have been heated by gas or coal. And it would go off like a rocket. So if it was in the basement, it'd go through the first floor of the house. Literally. So a requirement, and it's a darn good one, is a temperature and pressure sensor and relief valve. So if the water temperature got too hot, this relief valve, which is screwed into the side of the hot water heater, would release the pressure. Now, typically, it's a pipe fitting. You'll see it on the side of your hot water heater with a pipe pointing down toward the floor and maybe ending 4 inches off the floor. So the idea is if the pressure got too high, this relief valve would open up and send the extra water down toward the floor. And the reason it would go down toward the floor is you could be scalded and get severe burns from boiling water. So that's a darn good thing to have. And all hot water heaters that are manufactured within probably the last 80 years or so have them. And it's a darn good safety device. So as far as the air compressor is concerned, you've got 20 gallons. Well, a small one might be. Small one might be 5 gallons. Portable one you can pick up with your with a handle and carry around. Bigger one might be 10 gallons. We've got a little roll-around twin-cylinder Craftsman that's built in the 70s that has a twin-cylinder 20-gallon compressor. That works real well, but it's too small for what we do. So, but we have to drain the water out of it, every couple of weeks if we use it. But you really have to drain the water out of the air compressor tanks. You have to do it. Otherwise, you'll have rust. And you'll find if you pick up a used air compressor, you'll find that many of them have rust holes in them. Charles, back to you.
Yeah. Have you ever looked at the, I'm not sure if it's maybe painters that they use the, they take a OV8 engine and they remove one head and they use it for a compressor?
I've heard of using a gasoline engine as a compressor. For example, probably in the 1930s, if a car had a flat tire, they would take out the spark plug and they would have already fabricated an adapter that would screw into the spark plug hole of a, let's say, a four-cylinder engine. And in the 40s, they might have used a V8 engine. And they'd have a hose, and they would adapt it to a inflator valve for a tire. And literally, they'd start the car, and one of those cylinders would be used to compress the air. The only problem is it had gasoline in it, too. So now you had an explosive air-fuel mixture, roughly 14.7 parts of air to one part gasoline, mixed with, that would be what you'd be pumping into your tire. Darn dangerous, but yes, people have done it, and yes, I have heard of it.
Well, this was a little different. This wasn't... I'm not sure what application they were. I used to see it sitting in the bed of a guy's pickup truck. But I know he did it because I had a friend who was looking for he had a certain requirement for a volume of air he was doing. It's kind of a media blast system, but his used nitrogen, so it would just blast with ice. And he found several advantages with it, with cleaning up and how it would abrade the metal. So it made me curious about that, and I've never had a chance to really look into what they were doing with that.
Well, you've seen these air tanks, class, right? The ones that you can buy at the store, they're typically, like 5 gallons in capacity. And you can put compressed air in them, pump them up with an air compressor. And then they have a short little hose, and you can carry this tank to where you have a flat tire and pump up that tire with the compressed air that's in the tank. And we have a couple of those that we keep here at the farm. So, and the reason we have a couple of them, actually we have 3 of them. And the reason we have them is that we may get a flat tire and a tractor that's 3/4 of a mile from the shop at the farm. So we have these tanks, and that's enough air to get the tire inflated, because some of these tractor tires are as tall as I am on the rear of the tractor. And we'll get it inflated just enough to get the tractor back home without riding on a flat tire and ruining a $1,000 tire. And then we can fix the tire or the tube. So you can adapt. You can buy an adapter that will let you convert a propane tank, a 20-pound propane tank that has the propane removed from it, to an air tank that you can use to inflate tires. And you can buy the adapter if you happen to have a good condition propane tank. You can modify that. Charles, have you seen that?
No.
Okay. Well, you can. And some people have done it. And we don't throw anything away. So we have some propane tanks lying around here that are empty. And if we needed to, we could convert it. And the conversion is probably about $15 for the fittings to convert it.
They years ago, they were also selling a airbag you could hook to your exhaust pipe and jack your car up more conveniently. That would be useful. That would be useful for these unibody cars now. I hadn't seen it advertised for several years, but I remember when you could get one of those.
Yeah. Charles, you're talking about, when you say unibody, you're talking about pinch weld construction, right?
Yes.
Let's talk about that for a minute. Class, it used to be, in the good old days, cars and trucks were made with a frame. So the frame would support the engine. It would the steering gear would be attached to it. Transmission would be attached to the engine. The drive shaft would be connected to the back of the transmission and connect to the differential, or the rear end, or the rear axle, whichever you prefer calling it. And the shock absorbers you'd have all this bolted together. Then the body would be lowered during manufacturing onto the frame. That's how it was. So the frame was really strong. And on these frame and body cars and trucks, if you attached a trailer hitch to it, you would actually have something that was really strong that the trailer hitch could be bolted to, that you wouldn't damage the vehicle. And if you were in an impact, the frame was the strongest part of the vehicle. Now, in this pursuit of lighter, cheaper, more miles per gallon, we've gotten away from frames to what's called a unibody. And there is no frame on a unibody car. The body is the frame. And it's gotten lighter and lighter and lighter. As a matter of fact, it's gotten so light with this new construction called pinch weld, P-I-N-C-H, weld, W-E-L-D, that the body, the outer skin of the car, is part of the support mechanism. And then there's a floor pan that's another part of the support mechanism, and then there might be a third inner skin of the body. So you put all these three pieces together and you pinch weld them together. So You literally have the part where these three pieces of sheet metal, thin sheet metal, all join under the rocker panel, where the rocker panel was of a car, and they are electric welded together, like, you know, every 4, 5, 6 inches. There's a weld where the welder pinches the sheets of steel together, and they're electrically welded. Now, if you pick up, there is no pickup point that's part of a frame. So if you pick up one of these vehicles in the wrong spot, you can bend the car. I am not kidding. As a matter of fact, these things are so weak, these cars are so weak, that many of them, if you were to pick them up in the wrong spot, if you pick them up like 1 inch off the ground, so the tires are 1 inch off the ground, you will not be able to open the car doors because the body deflects and bends so much that the car doors are jammed together. I'm not kidding. It's the car door is jammed with a pillar post. So you need to have what's called a pinch weld adapter, and we have four of them. And the idea is you have, when you pick up a car on a lift, you have to have an adapter that will fit in the pinch welds, and then this adapter will sit on the rubber pads that a traditional asymmetric or symmetrical lift has. Without it, you'll damage the bottom of the car, and it'll never be right after that. And we see over and over and over, almost every single vehicle that comes in here that's been worked on by someone else, that's a pinch weld construction, has been damaged by the guys who changed the oil. Because they don't know what they're doing. They don't know about the pinch welds. Charles, any comments about that?
Well, it's just amazing how they can find ways of taking, leaving more material at the factory and giving the buyers less.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, Charles, it's really interesting. Our son is the primary mechanic. I'm just, you know, I just am, I don't know, maybe just a second opinion, maybe the guy who does the quality assurance, maybe you know, I help out, but you know, I don't do all the work. I do some of it. But our son does most of it. And I talk to customers, and I say so often, you know what? You don't want to get rid of this car. You want to keep this car. And I tell them why.
Radio. Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Jose works on a farm. Safety is important. His boss calls 811 to determine where it's okay to dig. This protects Jose from hitting an underground line and from serious injury. Because Jose can't tell exactly where or how deep the lines are, he doesn't dig until 811 tells him it's safe. The most important thing is that Jose works safe and goes home to his family. For more information, visit farmsafe811.org. A message from the Pipeline Operators for Ag Safety Campaign.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
Did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
No whining. Only expert guests and seasoned opinions. Instruction that matters. At the controls, Vincent Finelli.
You know, during the previous commercial break, the news person said that the Federal Reserve is implemented 4 rate hikes this year. 4 rate hikes, and it's necessary, I guess, because of what they call red hot inflation. Because I want you to think about this: the red hot inflation. That's true. Hyperinflation. That's true. We predicted it. But it didn't start this year. It started with President Donald Trump and was continued by Joe Biden when they gave away anti-rioting money, that I called it anti-rioting money, when they locked people in their homes because of the China virus that was aided and abetted with the United States military. So the Chinese and we were involved in the bioweapon, the genocide. People got locked in their homes, and then to keep them from rioting, people were given money, like $600 and $1,200. You give away free money to everybody, and then you wonder, how come we have inflation? Now, it doesn't happen instantaneously, but it follows. And so I predicted that we were going to have hyperinflation. Here it is, and now who's paying for it? Everybody. Everybody's paying for it with higher prices, this free money. And everybody is paying for it with that has adjustable notes, like mortgages, because the rates are going up. There's no such thing as a free lunch. The government can print money, absolutely, out of thin air. They can certainly do that, but it ends up as inflation. So it's not free, and it never will be free. Charles, any comments?
Oh, no, I very much agree. And I say that, a lot of people look at the rising cost of a lot of services and products today. And I see a lot of that as things coming to a point where we're seeing the actual cost of production of stuff, because it's hidden with all of the manipulation of the central banks do to get. I looked at it as back how much of the work that was that left the United States and went overseas was fueled because they could manipulate the price of exchange of currency between the United States and other nations. And that's the way I look back at at the way it relates to the conflicts they're starting now are all caused by our kings keeping their trade routes open. That's the big thing that the government wants to do right off the start is to set up trade with other nations that we don't always agree with. And the bigger nations want to impose their idea of fair on smaller nations. And like I say, take advantage of poor economies and with a lot of people they want to get to work in the workforce.
Yeah, and they want to steal the resources from the smaller countries that have the resources, specifically countries like Africa or countries in Africa. You know, there's a problem with repairs and services in the automotive industry. So, for example, whenever you hear we need a new transmission, you know that's going to be expensive. And we just had to give some bad news to a customer this morning while I was on the air. And I ran off to do that during the break. And the cost for an automatic transmission repair, so pull the transmission out, repair it, put one back in, or fix that one and put it back in, today on a General Motors truck is about $2,500 to $3,000. The problem with that is that the truck's not worth $2,500 to $3,000. So customers are now faced with, what do we do? Do we put $2,500 or $3,000 into a vehicle that's worth the same amount? Or what? And the or what means we have to buy a different one, which can cost way more. And it's going to need repairs. It's unbearable now. The costs of replacing a transmission or an engine are so high that people just dump the vehicle. You know, we worked on a Mercedes twin turbocharged GL450. Guy put the wrong oil filter in it. Ended up over here, we diagnosed it internal engine damage. The vehicle's not going to last very long. It's going to cost about $10,000 to get an engine and put it in. It's so complicated. And how much is the vehicle worth? About $10,000. Does it look beautiful? Absolutely. It looks really, really impressive. But it's so complicated, it's unmaintainable. It's unaffordable to maintain. Charles, 10 seconds. What are your thoughts?
That's why I stick with the vehicle back in the 60s or 70s, that you can still get an engine kit for them and rebuild the engine for less than people pay for a power window motor.
Yeah, I just bought a used engine for a 1977 Ford truck. It's $400 for the entire engine. The entire engine. Class, the new vehicles, the paint is actually thicker than the metal behind the paint on the skin of a vehicle. I am not kidding. Charles, thank you so much for being with us. Gwyneth?
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.